can do what the client wants it to do. So we test it from a health and safety perspective. We test it from a technical compliance capability. And if it is okay, then we give it a certification. This is absolutely vital and necessary. Or else people will sell the product because it happens to the environment or to humans. And we are the government agency set up to ensure that the market is perfect and the products are safe and are healthy and are fit for purpose and can be used in the market. Now, you may ask, or one may ask, what is the role of the Financial Bureau of Standards or the National Regulator for Compulsory Certification, which is a new subset of the Financial Bureau, which was set up at the end of last year. Now, I will explain this. If a stamp comes in after the product has been introduced to the market by the innovator and used as a standard product, that's why standard, the word standard, comes in. And standard must be general for that product to be under stamp regime. But before that, when the product is still new, or still being introduced to the market and people don't know about it, that is where we come in and do that technical assessment and give us the technical approval that the product is fit for purpose. Once the product has a fab listing, then one can continue with ongoing marketing as a standardized product. This can be illustrated diagrammatically as shown, and you can see the slide on the left, which is when the product is still in the development stage, as I mentioned earlier. The concept and development phase. That's where areas, organizations such as research organizations such as the CSIR, or technology developers, people who innovators, or research institutions like universities, or clever people who can develop and come up with new products. That's the area they operate in. That's the brown area on the diagram on the left there. Now, once the product is developed, it has completed their development, the research is finished, the technology is accepted, and the guy is satisfied it can work. He wants to introduce it to the market, he comes to us, and we test the product, we take it to the lab, we break it apart, we look at the components, and we actually test it. If it is okay, then we give it a market acceptance. We give it an ASRMA certificate, or fitness for purpose, so that product is fit for purpose. Now, once the person who has developed that product, has developed that market, and there are two or three other players, then industry comes together and develops standards. And that's when it moves from being an innovative product to a standard product. I think this is a very important slide, and if you understand that, you understand the relationship between ASRMA and the South African Bureau of Standards or the National Regulator for Compulsory Certification. And that has listings, it has marketing, it has a SAP mark, and it has standards, and it has inspectors who go out and carry out those inspections. One may ask, why is then SAS more well known than ASRMA? A number of reasons. ASRMA has a very, very narrow focus, because the only operation innovative construction area. SAS covers everything from products to cars to food to everything. Our area of operation is very narrow. And in that narrow region, we only operate in the innovative, not standardized. Hence, we are not known outside the construction industry. But within the construction industry, within our state, within curricula, within the universities, we are a part of the curricula in this country. The university students who study engineering and architecture are taught about what we do and the role we play in industry. But outside that, unfortunately, it is not yet commonplace knowledge. Within ASRMA, we are a very small of an entity. Currently, we have 10 professionals, but we do make use of outside expertise, because within that 10 people we don't have all the skills. We therefore have to make use of experts from other different areas or different aspects, because the 10 people we have cannot have all the knowledge to cover all the innovative systems. So we make use of experts either within South Africa or outside, from our sister World Federation members, to get the necessary expertise to test the product and to be able to come up with that decision, whether that product is fit for purpose or not. In terms of the way we work, we use a performance-based approach. when somebody comes with a product to us, you do not tell him this product must do this and that. In other words, you do not prescribe. We look at its performance. We test that product to see whether it will perform what the client says it will do. We test its fitness for purpose. We test whether it will work in that particular application which it says it will do. If it's a wall, we test whether it will be able to withstand the impact, it will be able to stop sound and light, etc. And we test whether it will be able to act as a thermally resistant product. So we look at the performance, which is an international approach. In standard prescribed, they say that this is a standard and you must meet this standard. We look at it from the other way, which is a performance base. Because if it's something new, you cannot tell somebody to how it's going to perform if you do not know it. So the person gives you the product, you don't know it, it's a new product, and you test its performance. You cannot prescribe something you do not know. And that's the way the World Federation of Technical Assessment Operations operates. It works based on expert opinion and judgment, based on the performance on that particular type of product or aspect. And we do this by testing or assessment, and using our well-established engineering principles. The engineering principles say that the wall must be able to withstand load, etc., etc., and we use those principles in terms of that expert opinion and judgment on the performance of that particular product. Coming back to the way we work internally, we work closely with the local municipalities. Why? Why do we work closely with them? Because the municipalities are the ones who are entrusted in enforcing the national building regulations in the Republic of South Africa. We have contact with the municipalities to identify skilled experts whom we can use to within our technical assessment. And we assist them by giving them information on certified products. Why do we do that? Because as the people who are entrusted with the responsibility to approve building plans and systems, they have to be able to make that judgment call whether this innovative product can be used or not. And the idea is to prevent substandard materials from getting to the market. All this ensures that only fit for purpose products are used in the construction industry. And why we work closely with the municipalities, we take away the stress from them in having to make judgment opinions of what they are not because the tests that you do are tests which are done by independent assessment. So by this statement I mean that a local building inspector, if he faces an innovative product, we tell a person to come to Agama, South Africa. He will not have the stress to make that decision himself, because he may not be competent or may not have the necessary skills to make that judgment call whether that product is fit for purpose or not. I think in terms of our impacts and achievements, as I mentioned last time, we have 482 certificates, 169 certificates valid. As I mentioned previously, there are several asthma certificated products which have come through and are now used as standardized products. And I gave a couple of examples, the metal roof stars, the plastic wrap, and several others, the copper tubing, etc., the lighters, internal partitions, etc. So in terms of impact and achievement, those are some of the impacts that we have achieved in terms of technical aspects. But on the software side, internally, I think we have strong human resource development within the agency. We also pay great attention towards staff training, which we have a very strong performance in terms of compared to average, and there are a number of staff members involved in actual addition improving their qualifications. What we're trying to work on currently includes improving the awareness and visibility, which we are aware that a lot of people are not fully aware of who we are, and we are not fully visible in the market. We're doing this within the finances available, and we're trying to use methods and means of getting out there into the marketplace using whatever means that are affordable within available finances. In terms of transformation of the technical agency, the market of the agency is highly transformed and represents the South African population demographics. as I mentioned previously, we have very strong international standing and recognition. And our sector output has increased within the last 2 years. And we have seen a greater increase in the acceptance of innovative construction projects, especially building systems, which is great and good for us. In terms of our international standing and recognition, I mentioned the World Federation previously, and this world map illustrates the countries from whom the areas from whom the members come from. In Canada, we have the Canadian Center for Materials, for Constructing Materials. In the United States, we have the ICC, the International Construction Center. Brazilian have the ICT, which is something that relates to product technology in Brazilian language, which I presume is Portuguese. In the UK, you have the British Board of Agronomy. In France, you have the CFPB, etc., etc. In South Africa, you have yours truly, Agronomy of South Africa. And as you can see, there's a very strong concentration in Europe. Africa, we are unfortunately the only one, but our certificates are recognized throughout the continent of Africa. In Asia, you have a couple in Japan, China, etc. And Australia, we have two in Australia and one in New Zealand, Brand. These are the member countries of the countries that took part in the world meeting that we held last year in Pretoria, in September, 21st to 30th September. The then Deputy Minister was a guest of honor, as I mentioned previously. It was a very, very successful meeting, in fact, considered as the most successful annual meeting in the history of the World Federation. Now, I'll just turn to a couple of opportunities, challenges and opportunities. I mentioned previously that the technical agency, there's a challenge in trying to get the right technical assessment skill and project management skill, but it creates opportunities by allowing us to skill others who may need the necessary skills. We do make use of a technical committee which does the approval of the certificate. Now, this technical committee is made up of board members and industry experts. They are, why we make use of a committee is to make sure that it is separate from the agency. The agency does the testing work, the committee, which is a separate industry nominated body, does the approval. Now, the committee is a separate body from the agency and is made up of board members and industry experts. And they use the expert knowledge and are recognized by experts in that field, and they're the ones who approve the certificate. Now, we have been having a challenge in terms of skills, but there's an opportunity getting broadening the pool of committee, and we've done very successfully, and we've transformed that committee as well. In terms of interpretation of the results of tests, the CSR, which does where our labs were housed, did away with most of the testing labs a while back due to changing research agenda. But we have, in the last 2-3 years, managed to set up the labs again, to get the equipment, and we are able to undertake some of the tests in-house and be able to do the interpretation ourselves. Now, the tests are conducted to assess whether the product meets the ADRMA performance criteria or not. In other words, when somebody gives us a product, we take it to the lab, we break it apart, and we test it in accordance with our assessment criteria. In the past, we used to use the CSR closed the lab, and now we do the test in-house, and we use our own lab. And there's an opportunity for us to improve and widen that lab infrastructure. The third fourth point is the technical infrastructure. We've had a number of accredited laboratories in South Africa actually closed down, as I mentioned, the South Africa CSR lab, the cement and concrete industry closed their lab, South Africa Bureau of Standards also closed something of their lab. But that closing of labs has given us the opportunity to set up our in-house testing facility, which actually we manage ourselves, and thereby we can improve the quality of service we give to the people, because we are now no longer at the mercy of an independent lab, but we are actually doing the test in-house. But all these actually have a cost, and they also have a resource constraint, which is doing whatever we can within the available funding that we do that. And For us, as World Federation members, all tests must be carried out by accredited laboratories who actually do the test in accordance with international ISO 17025, which is the international standard for laboratories. And the person doing the test must also be internationally accredited. So our tests are internationally recognized. Before I proceed further, I mentioned previously the legislative framework. And so currently we're operating under delegation of authority to the chairperson for the Minister of Public Works, who delegates to the board, the chairperson of the board, about the Mapalesca when acting in conjunction with the wishes of the board. Now that legislative framework makes it into a legal entity and enables us to act for and on behalf of the state legislative entity. In terms of opportunities, I mentioned about the research and development allows us to do a bit of research to be able to improve our criteria, etc. And in terms of foreign integration, the ability is to improve our awareness and visibility and working closely with stakeholders and by forming strategic alliances. I mentioned the enforcement, which I mentioned that previously was under the responsibility of building control officials. The municipalities are the ones who enforce the national building regulations in the Republic of South Africa. And another challenge you do have in Canada is the capacity. The number of people you have, as I mentioned, you understand at the moment, and it's a great challenge to achieve our mandate in terms of more human resource capacity. Now, I'll touch on national relevance and value added working within the framework of national imperatives. We work within the framework of national imperatives. In other words, whatever we do must be in line with national imperatives. We play a very differential to the state of the nation of it, and wherever we can play a role, like we note the 500,000 jobs that that the Department of Public Works is entrusted to create under the EPWP as part of public works program. By December this year, we will be playing a great role by contributing whatever we can within our mandate to ensure that that national imperative is achieved. This we do by ensuring that the products we do for the do fall within these particular EPWP or labor intensive technologies that create jobs are being labor intensive and not to remove jobs from society. We also work within the National Sustainability Development Strategy. In other words, whatever we look at in terms of our products must in line with national and global initiatives in terms of sustainability, which includes the ESG initiative, which is aimed at reducing green gas, the carbon footprint out there. We also do work within the national development and service delivery. A lot of our products were considered for use in the eradication of unsuitable structures, unsuitable schools. Superior energy efficiency performance. A lot of our products have excellent thermal performance. And I'd also mention the potential for rural development. You see, standard products tend to be very heavy and very cumbersome to transport. A lot of these innovative products have a great potential for rural and outlying areas, given the fact that they're light and can be easily transported. They also have the benefit of being able to create jobs, given the fact that they do not need extremely high levels of skill to put them together, unlike conventional systems of construction. So they have the potential to be used for outlying rural areas. I mentioned the upgrading of laboratories, as I mentioned previously, value-added services. We've also looking at making sure that our facilities are suitable for people who may be having disabilities. And internally, we've looked at improving the security assets and the ICT, creating a safe and healthy working environment. We have internally looked at an energy efficiency program as contributing to the growth of the national energy efficiency, and we've also looked at other risk assurance practices by carrying out risk assessment activities. In terms of women empowerment, we will continue on our present course regarding women empowerment. Currently, close to half of the staff members are female, and we continuously target women employees, and we are certain and we know that they do make excellent employees. We also will be providing them with the necessary skills to upskill them to make sure that they come up to the required level. So women empowerment is a key ingredient in terms of our strategy going forward. We also trying to look at getting the youth involved within our technical agency. In the past financial year, we've had three bursary students whom we have been engaging as part of the staff development program. These are final year civil science, conservation, and engineering, civil engineering graduate students at local universities. The idea is once they complete their studies, then they will be able to join the technical agency as staff members, and that is our focus that we do have on the youth. And regarding children, disabled people first, sorry, we will continue in our quest to engage persons with disabilities. We've not been successful in recruiting one, but we do, in all our efforts, place emphasis on people with disabilities and for shortlisting for selection process in terms of the tenders and the that we do have. So we will continue to place this emphasis, and then all these emphasis will be done to ensure that the people with disabilities get preferential treatment. Regarding children, we do play a role in activities that target children. We have several initiatives that enhance the role of children. Amongst the activities, the Take a Girl Work, Girl Child to Work Day. We do take part in that particular activity. We do take part in the SciFest exhibition, which takes place annually. The SciBono Workshop, we did play a big role in that. And several other shows that target school-going children. So we do play a big role in targeting the children to make sure that we do play a key role in our activities. In terms of compliance with the PSMA and Treasury regulations, we do issue the regular quarterly reports. We do have interaction with the Public Works National Infrastructure Forum, which is a regular interaction with other heads of departments. And we do, as part of the CSR, part of the management team. There is an annual strategic planning session, which is done at board level. And we do work within the shareholders' compact, in other words, directly from the shareholder, which is the Department of Public Works. We do adhere strictly to financial management, and our financial statements are subject to independent external audits, as well as an autonomous external audit process. This will be covered more by the financial presentation later. Currently, we have a board member, 11 board members who were appointed for a period of 3 years in November 2007. You didn't meet the chairperson during the previous interaction with Professor Salinga. Salinga was well known in industry. And as I mentioned, our strategic planning session will be on the 22nd of this month, July. The aim of this particular board is obviously to raise standards in industry, and obviously to set up new objectives of quality and quantity of output. In other words, the board has set up the benchmark in terms of what are the quantifiable outputs in terms of measurable deliverables that us as an agency must deliver to the board and to the country. So we do report to the board, and they set that benchmark, which we've been achieving over the past few years. And obviously, the board is there to make a difference in the lives of South Africa by enhancing service delivery, by testing and approving improved construction products and systems. The 11 board members, the names are there. You may know some of them. Dr. Cameron Ann has been to this particular portfolio committee in the past. Dr. Mohamed Tayyou plays from Whitbank. He plays a big role in the Mpumalanga region in terms of social housing and that kind of activity. Eben Kruger is the National Roads Agency, so that's the National Roads Agency. And our construction project actually covers road projects, as I will show you some examples later. And Homoto Shoma, you may know her, she won the Entrepreneur of the Year. That was the show that was Imagine Entrepreneur, that was a TV show a while back. She's also on our board. Trevi Tiani, the General Manager of South African Bureau of Standards. As I mentioned, we work closely with the Bureau of Standards, and they sit on our board, and I sit on their board as well. So there's close working relationship, and there's cross integration. We work together with them, not against them. We have people from private practice, Mr. Moshe, he's a private consultant in Bloemfontein. Mr. Mike Mahler is an engineering specialist at the Development Bank of Southern Africa. Nodi Shabalala, she's from KZN, she's from the road FA Asphalt, and she works closely with the structures in KZN. Tebo Hobo, she's a civil engineer, a lecturer at the University of Johannesburg. And yours truly, Solomon Malede, who is the acting DG of the National Department of Public Works. Now, these gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, do form the 11 ladies and gentlemen, who are members of the Board of Agama, to whom we report to. Now, how do we report to the board? How is the technical agency, which I manage, as I mentioned previously, we sit under the CSR, and I, the CEO, work within the CSR, and as a CEO of Agama South Africa. We report to the board directly, and as I mentioned, we have a technical committee that is made up of board members, members of the technical agency, and technical independent experts who actually approve the petition. Now that's the organizational structure of Agama South Africa. We have the technical agency where the end room, where the next work gets done, the board, which has the oversight of the approval, or the management, and then the technical committee that does the approval of the petition, and experts outside the industry within the approval. In terms of our typical evaluation, what do we look at? What is an evaluation? What do we say? I've just listed some of the areas that we test. Obviously, it's not everything, because we get something that is certainly out of this room. It actually does a test method to test that particular product. And these are the aspects that we look at. We can see structural stability and strength. We look at whether that product is strong enough to say we want to do. Fire is very important. So if you have a building and people are burning it, then no. So we look at the performance in relation to fire. Whether that thing would be able to withstand fire and it's safe for people to get out safely in case of a fire. Very, very important. Water penetration, if you have a housing, you have to use an umbrella, obvious. So we look at water penetration and rising damp. Rising damp makes you sick for weeks, makes you get unwell. So that is another aspect to look at. Thermal performance and energy, the house must be comfortable. If it gets too hot inside, it will kill people. If it gets too cold, it will kill people. So we look at thermal performance of that particular product. Condensation, as I mentioned previously. Acoustic performance, sound should not be able to come in or leave easily. If you're in your room, you don't want people in the next room hearing what they're talking about, whatever you're doing it or whatever it is. Accuracy in building quality, very important. Durability, will that thing last 10 years or 20 years or 50 years? Or is it going to break tomorrow if you get a phone call? Quality management system, do you have the quality to ensure that the product you will deliver will meet that standard going forward and compliance with the national building regulations? Now, these are typical scope, not the whole range, but the typical scope of evaluation to give you an idea of what we, the government of South Africa, get into. I'll just illustrate a few examples or a few tests that we can carry out. Now this is on the left there is the deterioration test. You see whether this building block, this would be, will it withstand rain, you know, under pressure over a period of time. So we have this under continuous pressure, and we test it. We pump it to the water and see whether that product will stand. It's just that it's one of the six simple tests that we can carry out. rather than the right hand there, you have the sandbag, and you lift that sandbag up, you can see there's a string there, and then you leave it and let it knock that wall. If that wall stands somebody knocking the wall, or some car knocking it, or, you know, just to simulate the impact of somebody falling on the wall. So that's the soft body impact test. There's a hard body impact test, which is a much stronger load on a wall, which you also do carry out. The panel compress, we put this panel and we compress it to see whether it would be able to take the load from above. We do this obviously in a lab where you put the entire panel, 6 meters or whatever length it is, and then you put forces, you press it by putting forces on it. Fire, as I mentioned previously, is a very important aspect. We actually drill the whole wall and we actually burn it up and see whether it does burn. That's quite spectacular to see some of this test, especially this full burnout test, which has been shown a number of times on local TV. It's very spectacular. It's amazing that this actual building, when you did the full test on an actual building with a normal fire load within a building, the building reaches a flare point within 3 minutes. In other words, if you're sleeping, you have no chance of getting out of that building. What we do is if we have a normal paraffin light and it falls over and we test, we have cameras and all that that test that monitor how long it takes before that thing reaches the flare point, which is the flame all over the building and therefore by exiting you. And that happens within less than 2 minutes in a normal house. Because once the paraffin light falls, the oil leaks out and it catches fire, and immediately the fire catches the fire load in the building, which is the natural. The blanket and immediately jumps up into the field. And within 3 minutes, that thing is a total, it's a big fire. The temperatures rise to over 1,000 degrees within a natural section. It's amazing to see what happens in this particular case. And this is what happened in second line. So we measure that the buildings that produce certificates actually meet the fire test requirements, which is a 30-minute fire test. In other words, that the building product must be able to withstand fire for 30 minutes to allow you ample time to get out. If an internal wall is 60 minutes, which is more time because you may need to go to another room before you get out. So we do test this product by doing actual physical fire tests to ensure that the product meets a particular performance requirement fitness the purpose. Water penetration, as I mentioned previously, and I'll bring back a typical argument certificate, which is what the product which you give the certificate holder, which is actually state what the product is, has the details of the certificate holder, has information on the subject, what the product can be used for, where it can be used, what it cannot be used for, and has a summary of what the assessment is carried out. It also lists the condition of the certification, it has a technical description of the product, and also lists the word. It's a full technical document which lists what that particular product is and what it can be used for. This allows the building control officials who monitor and approve building supply in the country to be able to make a judgment call whether that particular product can be used in their area of jurisdiction or not. Now, as I come to the end, I just want to touch on the quality management system, which is a very, very, very important aspect of our assessment. And we look at quality management during the evaluation of the testing, and we cover the product not only in the factory production but also on site. In other words, once we give somebody a certificate, we don't leave it. We follow that particular person or the manufacturer where he's installing his product, and we ensure that his quality is the same as when we tested it in the laboratory to ensure that there's ongoing quality during installation and manufacturing. And all certificate holders are visited at least once a year. We do have a 3-year validity review. In other words, after 3 years, we go and do a comprehensive quality audit, which is more detailed than an annual quality audit. And all this is done in accordance with the International Standards Organization 9001, which is a quality management system audit requirement. Now, in terms of initiatives during quality, we come to the end of my presentation. We as Agrima will be importing knowledge and skills by ensuring that you do have the right criteria and the right equipment, as I mentioned earlier. We'll make sure that you're relevant to our stakeholders, especially the rural communities. We'll ensure that impact on service delivery and is achieved. Education and awareness about available products for industrial and rural development, we will ensure that it's done. We will provide assistance to small, medium, and micro enterprises. We'll comply with the latest King guidelines in terms of corporate governance and board workings and structure. And we will have a clear plan going forward based on the mandate that will be given, based on the legislation, should it be successful, which we are confident and hopeful that it will be successful. If I look forward in the next 5-6 years, where will we be? What is it? What are the deliverables? What are we doing? What are we going to do in 4-5 years? What are we going to deliver? What's the value add that Agrima is going to deliver in terms of deliverables and transfers? We will ensure that innovative, modern, and better construction technologies will be widely used in South Africa. I can say this with a lot of confidence, that innovative construction will be more widespread in 6 years' time than it currently is at the moment. Then, Agrima South Africa will be highly visible and relevant to the construction industry in South Africa. We will ensure that South Africa, substandard innovative construction projects will be totally prevented from getting to the market. Substandard innovative construction products will be totally prevented from getting to the market. We will ensure that the risk involved in the use of untested innovative products will be completely removed and ameliorated. The agency in 6 years will be totally highly transformed and will represent the demographic profile of the country. This has been achieved. And the housing provision challenge will mostly be addressed using innovative construction systems. That's my vision for 6 years from now. And I see that what's my vision for the new South African house to be an affordable house, to be easy to construct, to be energy efficient, to be encompass sustainable construction principles. It will be quick to construct, and it will be a low maintenance house. That's my vision for the future of this agency and the future of housing in South Africa. I thank you for listening to me, and if we all put our efforts together and with the necessary support, we will achieve our goal. I will now hand over to Mr. who will give the
financial statement. To the honorable members of the House, the women and ladies, and morning to the board. I'm taking the list. I have to present to you the financial statement for the 2008-9 year. That's from April 2008 to March 2009. And the budget actually focused that we are looking forward to. On the 2008-9 financial year, we spent 4.575, that's on my hand in Congress, on human capital. On technical assessment operation, which is our annual cost, is 1.58. On infrastructure cost, which is depreciation, our minority state are in administration, 0.7. 1,000,000, a total of 7.4. For the 2009-10 year, we are focusing on human capital cost of 5.213. and on our running, we are focusing on 1.35 to some infrastructure. On infrastructure, on the education, we are focusing on 758,000. And on finance, HR and administration is about 80,000. This is the total budget for 2008-90. So in 2009-2010, on manpower we are, we need an additional 2.784, and on running an additional 5.7, and on infrastructure cost 3.76. A total of about 16.2. That is 2005. So 2011.
Excuse me, Chairman. Just a point of clarity. You know, we have got two documents here. The other one is this one and this one. But if you look at the budget of this 2008-2009, where is it? Technical assessment operational. This other document says 1.039 at 14%, and the other one says 15800 at 21%. So, what is the difference?
The correct one is 1.5. When the financial statement is not counted.
So, you must look at this one.
We've
got these two documents here that we're giving to you. And I think they both state the same thing, but when it comes to the technical assessment, operational keeper.
I suspect this one is the latest. This is the one you have presented.
Yes.
So we must not consider this one.
Yeah, because I think two documents are sent out.
Yeah.
The first document, and this one correct, and then the second document.
So we should concentrate on this. I will try another one.
From 2010-2011 budget, which on main power we will be using 4.6 million, on running 3.4, and on infrastructure cost 2.2, a total of about 10 million. Okay, from 2011-2012, main power, we are looking at about 10.4. Technical assessment, 7.1. And infrastructure, 7.6. Thank you. I did buy this. The net power of the human capital we are looking at about 11 million. And technical assessment, 8.9. And on this infrastructure, 2.2. And on admin, 3.4. So on the ideal point, we are looking at about 8.9. So the ideal budget for 2010-2011, we will be looking at manpower 12.1, technical assessment 9.8, infrastructure 2.5, admin 3.9. The ideal budget meaning that if you get to operate properly. That's why when I was looking at those different slides, that we met on one page, you know, different page. Now, that's why you check these are not looking to there. Here I'm taking it one by one, just in one page. So if I go to 2012, the main part of human capital, we'll be looking at about 18.4, technical assessment, 10.8, infrastructure, 2.7, and admin 4.3, a total of about
31.3. Thank you. I don't stand by creative transformation. We're interested in extended trust very compared with the authority. I'm sure members would probably want to revise
Chairperson. I just want to get some clarity on the role of agreement on products that are already in the market. Not really innovative, but already in the market. Maybe they've gone through the South African Bureau of Standards, I don't know how, but that do not really in the opinion of the layman, do not meet the performance criteria. And of course, here you should emphasize the layman's point of view. What I want to understand is, for example, these days we have a lot of corrugated iron sheets on the market that are very thin. And if you walk on that corrugated iron sheet, it gives up or it gives in. I think you should be aware of that type of product. And I think the gauge is it's something like, I don't know whether it is 2 or 3, but they are very, 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 very thin, and they are used for the same purpose. I mean, when we grew up, the corrugated iron sheet is a very strong thing. You can even run on the corrugated iron sheet. Yeah. But the ones I'm referring to right now, really, it's hopeless in terms of the layman's point of view. Maybe we are using this corrugated iron sheet for a wrong purpose. It could be that, I don't know. But if the corrugated iron sheet is intended for roofing purposes, now the question is, how does the carpenter walk on that roof if the corrugated iron sheet is so thin and very weak, and it gives in if you walk on it. I'm sure you are organizing, you should be aware of this, I'm sure. I just want to know if you have any room to play, because this is not innovative. It is something that is already in the matter. We only get surprised when we feel this thing and there's something wrong with this material. Now, maybe if you could just clarify us on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kanyago. I appreciate the question. This question actually was asked last time when I was at the press before the commission. It falls under the responsibility of the South African Bureau of Standards because our mandate covers innovative products. The South African Bureau of Standards mandate covers innovative products. So it is after that our mandate, but within the mandate of the South African Bureau of Standards, and it's their responsibility to act upon it. Thank you for the question. Thank you, Chair.
It's a follow-up. Can you take the follow-up?
Yeah, I also wanted to do the follow-up.
Chair, I just want to find out, because now we are hearing of SDDS is their problem. But when we were told that they are doing what we call performance, you know, they try to check the thing if it is performance or, you know, people. Did it go through them before? Because this is it's a construction material. Did it prepare go through them also before it goes through the SDDC? So that they have detected it existed for people.
I think everybody will have to the SDDC. I'm tempted to add a follow-up, yes. And then you probably combine them.
Thank you,
Chairperson. I'm partly covered again by the honourable member, but further to that, my question, I'm not sure whether you know, the gentleman from Agrima, I thought Yang would be able to respond to the question, but I raise it nonetheless. Chair, under who does SAP then report to? You know, in terms of, or under which ministry, you know, to the results. And if so, if at all, because I think this is a matter that really needs to be interrogated. Let me quickly, without raising this committee staff, we had a what we call it, Ganyam, you know, last year. And one of the new, what we call the RCP development, about 80 to 90 of those houses, most of those houses were blown out by the water. It was declared a disaster. Just like the Honorable Kanya. So, this is a serious matter that really needs our interrogation. Following the response from, I think we need clarity on. Because we should be able to get staff here, if it's possible, so that they explain that to us and we are able to make, I think, if warranted, we don't need to check. Not the brief of this committee, not the purpose of today's meeting, but it's a mechanism that we need to then interrogate so that they need to see. Even if it needs, you know, us to call them here so that they explain to us what it is. That's what I would like to say.
Thank you, Honorable Mafango and Honorable Member. I didn't get your name, I'm sorry. But I thank you for the two questions. I appreciate the questions. Yes, we work closely with the South African Bureau of Standards. Yes. The corrugated iron is a product that has been in existence for many, many, many years, as Honorable Kanyago mentioned. And when we were growing up, quite rightly, yes, we could run on them because I remember they were very, very thick. And buildings built with corrugated iron would last, they're still standing up to today, the ones which were built when we were young. And the new ones you buy today and tomorrow, they don't stand. And I'm so sad when I hear 80, 90 houses roofs blown off. I really feel sick. It's wrong.
doing wrong to our people. The DTI is responsible for 0-10, and that's falls under the DTI, Department of Trade and Industry. Standardized products, unfortunately, under the South African Bureau of Standards standard, and it's their responsibility. I'm not advocating responsibility. As a professional in the industry, I feel very sick when I see poor standards of poor construction getting into industry. It's wrong. It should not happen. And standard products are getting to the market. And that's why I want ASMA to play a key role in strengthening the local municipalities to prevent that standard products from getting to the market. With the right skilled people, we will stop this product from getting to the market. It is wrong for low quality products to be used on construction sites. We have to raise the right control, building control officials of the authority to enforce building regulations. Roofs being blown off are due to either poor construction or poor materials being used. And it should not happen. If you pay for the right to price the right material, why does this happen? Due to substandard material or poor control, the people who are entrusted to the responsibility are not doing their work. And we have to stop that. Unfortunately, it's extremely unfortunate. There's examples being shown there of failures in construction. It happens all the time, and it's very sad. It should not happen. It should not happen. I have no answer. I wish I had an answer. The Bureau of Standards has a standard. They have the quality, but the enforcement fails at the enforcement level. The building control officials and the professionals entrusted to oversee this construction, that's why you have the roof being blown off. They either use substandard material or substandard construction methods or substandard enforcement, and therefore the poor construction gets through. It should not happen. I'm not condoning it, but it does happen.
The question is actually not yet the answer. That's all I like. And you know, if they say they're gonna ensure the ISO 9001, which is the standard, it's just part of Agamon to do that. And I hope in future they will do that. But I just want to ask on the financial one. Manpower to me it means salary, because I don't know whether they put it in that way or not. And if it is salary, 52% of the money goes to salary, which doesn't sound right. And I can see they are trying to cut it down, but cutting down, I don't know whether they are going to cut employees. That's another thing that we don't want to see again, because the CEO said they want to help the Department of Public Works to employ more people by December, by December 2009. Now, how are they going to do? The second one question is about, I don't know whether these things I am missing. The CEO wants to bring his PTV vision by 2015 to ensure that in the construction we have modernized technological things. And if we bring technology again, we will be cutting down on people working, because it's going to do, it must be simple to construct a house, it must be fast and all those things. And once it is fast, then we don't have people working. So the things are contradicting each other if you listen to them. If you want to do it simpler, then you do it simpler, then people are not employed, they will be out of work. And the other one, it's just too many questions, but I'll cut them. Yeah, second, the other one that I wanted to ask, they have almost 3 months training people, according to them, and with the average is 3 days, and they have almost 99.7. Maybe one will ask the question to say, are you spending so much time on training? Is it because most of your employees don't have jobs to do, so sorry, you spend a lot of time on training? Or is it most of your employees are totally not up to scratch? That's why you spend more time to train them.
Thank you.
myself, Mr. Gambo, I don't know whether I should take the hands in both them and then the response from the Honorable Khatebe, Honorable Amin, Honorable Makam.
Thanks, I wonder if you can be able to assist the experience that I've taken notes that when you close questions too many, they don't get passed on. I'm just skeptical to continue because you come with many questions and you have 10 questions and you'll be able to answer 5 questions. And then it seems as if you'll be answering all questions and you start taking some attention.
Probably if you can just agree to take 3 hands and then you answer and then we'll come back.
Well, thanks, Chair. On that note, I just want to pose a few questions. I wanted to check what criteria do they use, because I had the CEO when he presented, he mentioned that they were going to take other consultants to assist them in doing their job correctly. And I wanted to check whether they have their internal resources that can be able to do the job. And also, if they don't have, what strategy are they having? Because I never had him posing a certain strategy on ensuring that they go to and deal with the issue of skill shortages within this sector. The other question is that I want to check in terms of the project that you are saying in assisting the EPWP, because you said that's why they don't need basically the most skilled people. They just need other people just to provide them with skills. But I never heard him saying or maybe providing a solution, because the intention of the EPWP is to ensure that people they are skilled and they also get provided with competence certificates. If you can be able to assist me in that, so that at least one will be able to understand whether are they going in terms of the agreement of the EPWP. The other aspect that I want to check, what that relating to finance. What variable percentages increase per year that are they using here? So that we can be able to detect and check. Because my major understanding of finance is that when you increase every year, you must increase the certain deliveries or percentages. So that is to be able to give you the exact, because you must look in terms of your inflation, your challenges that may emerge in the following year. So that you move according to that specific. If you can't just put amount, you know very well that next year people will be starting to say it's not an increase. And you must be able to give us a percentage. How do you also move within that percentage? What percentage do you use? But I didn't get you clearly when you're saying this is the ideal budget and the other budget is the focus budget or the budget that they're expecting to apply for. Because my understanding is that when you present a budget, you don't present a budget that you want to get the funding on. After that, you're going to say, no, I didn't trust them. There's another document that I think this is the ideal document that you can make funding on. You must be able to clarify as well, what do you mean by saying this is the ideal budget and the other one is the other budget that we're talking about. Because must get clarity in terms of that. And also, specifically, that, you know, the issue of the presentation, I think Mara, Honorable Mara, has just asked that question. When you're taking in terms of your presentation, what do you mean exactly? Because when you say you're going to reduce your percentage, trying to manage, but still your financial cost ranges above, you must give us a clarification. When you say you're going to decrease your percentage instead of 62% to 56%, I'm just looking at the ones that I'm hearing of your financial manpower, human capital, but your amount there is also increasing. We understand maybe it might also help to deal with additional amount of increment and stuff, but you must be able to clarify to us, as I asked you earlier, the percentage, the variable percentage that you use. Thank you.
I just realized that I said three hands, but each hand can make a question. So that's probably take to be the
the first one from the honor of the Minister of on manpower, we are not actually cutting the manpower. When you get any figures, we are actually increasing. The percentage is what is happening is we are taking the percentage of that particular manpower per the total budget. So it's actually a reshuffling of the money per the total budget cost. So you might see the percentage going down, but when you look at the figures, actually we are focusing more. Coming to the other member on the budget, we first presented the financial statement. That's the position that we made up to the previous financial year. Now, from there, then we presented the forecast. That's the position that we see ourselves resting on the following year. Right? Then we brought a different picture to say, if we get an operate forecast without the constraints of the resources that we have, that's the ideal budget. If it was not the constraints of the resources, having this ideal budget, this is what we need additionally to what we are focusing on. So what I said, the percentage, we don't use a fixed percentage to say we are increasing this particular budget line in so much percentage. The percentage that I put in here means that on the total budget say 100 million, right? Manpower might go down by so much percentage in relation to the total budget, the bottom line. It's not the percentage of manpower for this previous expenditure compared to the forecast expenditure, or the previous expenditure compared to the forecasted budget. No, it's actually the percentage per the total budget. It's the percentage of everything. So we might reduce cost on running, increase cost on manpower, and then we will find that then the percentage will change. But even my decision on how we go on that, we look at the business plan. So if the business plan is focused more on this, then the percentage might increase on that line. Thank you.
Can I just follow up, Justice?
Hold on.
No, thank you very much. I'm sorry for coming late, and thank you for holding the fort. You know, I don't see how you want to say if I have this budget I'm business and he has that one, but if I can have this one, it will be much better. It confuses me. Because when you do a thing or you plan on a thing, you actually stand very high. So that when you fall into the entity. So don't say I have this budget. You are actually telling us of three kinds of budgets. The other one is the if I get this one it will be better than that one, but if that one it will be much better. It is not what you think.
I'm thinking of the financial statement, the focus in the budget. So it's three things different. It's not the budget in the budget. And what I'm saying, when you want to see what else next year, that's the focus taking that. The financial statement is where we ended after last year, right? The budget is what we apply. Thank you. Only budget, that's what I'm saying, the ideal budget. So I'm thinking of three things. The financial statement, that's our position previous year. The forecast, where we want to see ourselves head next year. The ideal budget is what we are planning. Thank you. Hello.
Hello.
Okay.
My follow-up is pertaining to this one. If I can be able to put it in twice, or in two, would you understand? Or in two,
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Because I said, what I want to tell you, you see, when you make a budget, you think 2008, 2009 budget, I've got 39980 budget that I'm expecting to, and let's look at the total budget. Look at the budget that I'm going to use, going to be 8920. You say the following financial year, 2009, and to 2010, the envisaged budget, the increased budget to the following year, is going to increase with 5.1%, or is going to increase with 10%. Oh, I'm talking about those presentations. You don't just increase by saying no because it's next year. Let me just put these figures in calculating how much we spend this year and we can be able to add so much. But use a certain percentage in terms of your increase. Because you must be able to have a standardized increment in terms of your 3 year budget. In terms of your operation. Because you don't operate under an empty scope. You want to operate in terms of your percentage that you limit yourself. Because every budget you don't go beyond. That's why I'm saying there is relevant to the percentage. So that you can be able to give us the issue of the ideal budget and your focus budget. That's why even Honorable Kwa is mentioning clearly to say you are contradicting yourself and you are also confusing us. Because if you say your budget is that you must give us one budget, say this is your budget. But immediately you say that's where you want to see yourself an ideal budget, but it's still in the same financial year. It really confuses us. You said 2009 and 10, you give us another budget. 2009 and 10, focus, you give us another budget. It's really confusing. 2009 and 10, yes, you say your focus budget, you gave us 56%. But you say your ideal budget, you give us 43%. You know what I'm saying? It must give us a clear clarity to say, in a short sense, the budget that you're going to operate with is this one. Don't say this another one is an alternative if I have to have more money. No, you don't operate in that sense, you must have a specification. That's why I was asking you to say, you have any percentage of your increment per year? What percentage are you using this year? Next year, in information, because you use a certain percent, it's still an accounting specification to say finances. Every year, I'm using, for instance, 5.1%. That is my amount that I'm using. For the next 3 years, the increment in terms of the agreement, what are the Spanish unions and so on, it was 5.1%. And the following year, it's another 5.1%. That will also give you an equal amount that you're going to use each and every year. On a financial, other financial year, that you want to stop on that also third year of yours, you negotiate another percentage that you're going to increase along those percentages. That's how you also submit in terms of your finances to the Department of Finance, to be financed. Because you're not just saying we need this amount. Because you're going to be able to account to say, what percentage did you use in order to reach that amount? Or what variables did you use in order to reach that amount? Yes.
I actually just wanted to question the committee that the speaker is said we have about 7 minutes of speech, we have about 15. I'm sorry, just wanted to question. But while I'm on the floor, can I quickly just quickly while I'm on the floor, I'll use the 7 minutes. I agree with the sentiment expressed by the honorable members, but I actually just wanted to quickly question. This is the issue of percentage is a dangerous thing. You know, a small town where I hail from, a small recipient state of Texas, quickly, many years ago, wrote, you know, 2 Indians arriving up in Texas. 2 years thereafter, another headline, Indian. Tally increases by 200%. Now you can imagine 200% of 2 is 4. So it's blown out of proportion. Be careful of percentages. Quickly, one. I have noted the issue of training. Is there a plan to retain those skills while those people have been trained? That's my question. The one thing. The second one. Good as it may be, good to train your people, but there's that concern too. My view is that there must be a deliberate and conscious program of recruiting disabled people entering. You can't just, you know, advertise and hope they apply. It simply doesn't work. Lastly, with regard to finance, did ACRIMA have any audit exceptions or qualifications? From the AG, if you may get a little bit of help. I don't know. Well, I think we must agree that we need more time with ACRIMA. Because sitting here myself, you know, I want to pick up on what Honorable Rabotafi said about the financial statements rule in 2009, wherein the document we received today is about 40%. The document we received some time ago is to 21%. Now today is 21%, so 40% the last time. Now you see, we must be cautious, because we don't know when this change is effective. Was it ahead of the budget vote or after? And we must be very cautious about those things. So I think we need more time really to change. We don't have time now, but also I think from the level of the entity, they must also come prepared. I noticed the financial officer was not really prepared. Probably if they can come very prepared, and the committee secretary probably set another date where we have robust engagements with the entity. There are really outstanding questions which I doubt we'll be able to conclude our people today because of the problems that are starting to be. Or can we agree on a member that we request the committee secretary a corner to convene another session where the entity will come to then proceed with our engagement. But of course, I am certain that the CEO has taken note of all the questions, and when you come back, you probably first provide the necessary answer, then we move forward to engage. because I think we must be, we must be cautious with this thing. We must be cautious. We cannot afford to commit mistakes. And Dr. Bassam, I think.
Professor, it will be good also when they come back with their finances. Really, this human capital, because they break it down, because we don't know what is for consultants and what is for what is just putting on.
So I'm expecting that you will just get a very detailed financial, financial support for the board. Do you agree on that? Thank you very much, Honorable
So at that point, you said that when you next find time, find suitable time, make sure that there's effort time. There will be enough time, there's no other parallel business that is going to take up. Because I think this is too much in you for people. And at the same time, then you don't have time, you don't see anything, you can't take it. They'll be coming there for the same time. I know it's there, this business, but let us also work it in a way that we have enough.
Thank you. So, well, I think the Odhiambo will have to bear with us. In fact, we've been fitting on the schedule last week. So we were scheduled probably to finish at the top 12. And only last week we were told that there's a three-line week today. So you'll have to bear with us. Parliament can be also busy. We really appreciate the fact that you are really respecting this comment, and we hope that you continue to work. I don't think we are cutting any bounds at all. We are just engaging. We just want to do this correct so that indeed we get quality service to our people. And we respect that policy. When you are invited next time,